All right, it's 8:31. I'll call this meeting to order. I'll do the opening this morning. Don agan jokwa sunus yose chinat eundu gan hela dungsla. Aguegos kaji adwahwe nuni ng guatni gula nain yunkinuha ohunjage ji sego yinadli wandye rohadi datsu yundu hak yung guatni gula. Aguegos kaji adwahwe nuni ng guatni gula day tino e ladu nain ohnegano sogu ji sego yinadli wandye rohadi datsu yundu hak yung guatni gula. Aguegos kaji adwahwe nuni ng guatni gula day tino e ladu nain onegli suha ji sego yinadli wandye rohadi datsu yundu hak yung guatni gula. Aguegos kaji adwahwe nuni ng guatni gula day tino e ladu nain kahiwandis a awahit ji sego yinadli wandye rohadi datsu yundu hak yung guatni gula. Aguegos kaji adwahwe nuni ng guatni gula day tino e ladu nain onunkuat togu ji sego yinadli wandye rohadi datsu yundu hak yung guatni gula. Aguegos kaji adwahwe nuni ng guatni gula day tino e ladu nain oyunkwa u ji sego yinadli wandye rohadi datsu yundu hak yung guatni gula. Aguegos kaji adwahwe nuni ng guatni gula day tino e ladu nain asanate go dahundele ji sego yinadli wandye rohadi datsu yundu hak yung guatni gula. Aguegos kaji adwahwe nuni ng guatni gula day tino e ladu nain galunda suha ji sego yinadli wandye rohadi datsu yundu hak yung guatni gula. Aguegos kaji adwahwe nuni ng guatni gula day tino e ladu nain gundilio suha ji sego yinadli wandye rohadi datsu yundu hak yung guatni gula. Aguegos kaji adwahwe nuni ng guatni gula day tino e ladu nain gunjokwa ji sego yinadli wandye rohadi datsu yundu hak yung guatni gula. Aguegos kaji adwahwe nuni ng guatni gula day tino e ladu nain ojita suha ji sego yinadli wandye rohadi datsu yundu hak yung guatni gula. Aguegos kaji adwahwe nuni ng guatni gula day tino e ladu nain oela suha ji sego yinadli wandye rohadi datsu yundu hak yung guatni gula. Aguegos kaji adwahwe nuni ng guatni gula day tino e ladu nain ledis sagayondese ji sego yinadli wandye rohadi datsu yundu hak yung guatni gula. Aguegos kaji adwahwe nuni ng guatni gula day tino e ladu nain yunkisota we nidale ji sego yunki nugula dadi datsu yundu hak yung guatni gula. Aguegos kaji adwahwe nuni ng guatni gula day tino e ladu nain yodahalot sunkwa jiha ji sego lonadli wandye rohadi datsu yundu hak yung guatni gula. Aguegos kaji adwahwe nuni ng guatni gula day tino e ladu nain yoji stokwalu ji sego yinadli wandye rohadi datsu yundu hak yung guatni gula. Aguegos kaji adwahwe nuni ng guatni gula day tino e ladu nain gaini yungwedage ji sego yinadli wandye rohadi datsu yundu hak yung guatni gula. Aguegos kaji adwahwe nuni ng guatni gula day tino e ladu nain skanadalio ji sego yinadli wandye rohadi datsu yundu hak yung guatni gula. Aguegos kaji adwahwe nuni ng guatni gula day tino e ladu nain sunkwai disu ji sego yinadli wandye rohadi datsu yundu hak yung guatni gula. Dani. Next up, we have the adoption of the agenda. Is there any changes to the agenda? Lisa.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And there are two presented changes to the agenda. The first change occurred yesterday for executive session, which would be the inclusion of new business, item number 3 and item number 4. Item number 3 was an update from the Human Resources Department regarding the employment cap. Item number 4 was an update regarding the Oneida Gulf Enterprise and Oneida Airport Hotel Corporation follow-up. The other item that is being asked to be considered as for inclusion in today's agenda is from Councilman Metoxin, and that was a handout that was provided to you today. Mr. Metoxin received a request or notice of a Native American Tourism of Wisconsin meeting that was starting today, and an additional part of that meeting would be taking place tomorrow at the Great Lakes Intertribal Council meeting. And apparently he did receive that notice late, so in lieu of having to wait for an e-poll, I had asked him to just submit it as a request for today's agenda as an add-on for the travel area. So that would be under travel, which is number 12, and it would be A3.
Want to make a motion to adopt the agenda with those changes?
So moved.
Second.
Motion has been made and seconded. Any discussion on the agenda? Seeing none, we'll vote. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? Motion carries. Next on the agenda is the oaths of office. Was there any?
No, there is not.
Okay. And minutes to be approved. We have the December 15th, 2017 special meeting minutes.
Move to approve.
Is there a second?
Second.
Motion has been made and seconded. Any discussion? Seeing none, we'll vote. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? Motion carries. Next up, we have the December 18th, 2017 special meeting minutes to be approved.
So moved. Second.
Motion has been made and seconded. Any discussion? Seeing none, we'll vote. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed? Abstentions? Motion carries. Next up, we have the December 20th special meeting minutes for approval.
So moved.
Second.
Motion has been made and seconded. Any discussion? Seeing none, we'll vote. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed? Abstentions? Motion carries. And our last set of minutes is December 27th regular meeting minutes to be approved.
So moved.
Second.
Motion has been made and seconded. Any discussion? Seeing none, we'll vote. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? Motion carries. Next on our agenda is the entry e-poll result into the record for adoption of the resolution 12-21-17A.
Mr. Chairman, for this item, I would just like to recap very quickly that the grand opening of the Oneida Four Pass retail location took place. However, at that time, the completion of the liquor licensing or the alcohol and beverage licensing was not completed, and we were notified as a committee that that request was going to be forthcoming as soon as the appropriate paperwork could be completed through each of the areas that they needed to complete the paperwork by. So the retail area manager was instructed to go ahead and submit the request so that we could ensure from a business perspective that the licensing was completed as timely as possible for this location. So that was conducted, and that's where we are with this today, and that was for Thursday, December 21st.
So we're looking for a motion to enter to the record the e-poll results.
So moved.
Is there a second?
Second.
Motion has been made and seconded. Any discussion? Seeing none, we'll vote. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed? Abstentions? Motion carries. Next up, we have the Standing Committee. We have the Legislative Operating Committee, Membership Ordinance Rule Number 1, Enrollment.
Okay, on December 6th, the Legislative Operating Committee certified this rule, so it's before you today for adoption. This is the Membership Ordinance Rule Number 1, the Enrollment Rule, and this sets procedures for carrying out the responsibility delegated to the Trust Enrollment Committee in the Membership Ordinance. So it goes through things such as the maintenance of confidentiality, maintaining records, verification of authenticating documents, and the removal of tribal rule. And before you consider the adoption of this rule, there is one update that was recently found that we'd like to ask to be corrected before it's adopted and posted, and that's in section 1.5-1 under maintaining records. We'd like the second sentence to read, records shall be updated and organized, instead of records shall be updated.
Say it again, department committee shall...
That second sentence currently states records shall be updated and organized, and we'd like to change that to updated.
Nancy?
I
I wanted to comment on when this first came forward. The meeting that I attended was not a public hearing. It was called a public meeting. And that meeting was recorded and a number of people came. And so what this originally goes back to, the situation that created this is that a child was unlawfully or misenrolled due to paternity. And so the child received an enrollment number, a minor children's trust account, and then something happened with the paternity. There was paternity established, and it found out that the child did not belong to who they thought it was. So my original comments to that is, what about the other people who are unlawfully enrolled? And there are others, and it affects not only that generation, but the generation after, because then it makes children and grandchildren who would not normally be eligible for enrollment enrolled, which means that makes them eligible for housing, per capita, land, education, all of the services that we provide. So I had serious issues and caution with that. When you open the door and you do it for one, what about the others? And I'm against disenrolling or banishing or once someone is on the rolls, taking them off. And I was also concerned about the issue that the Trust and Enrollment Committee brought forward as far as a public meeting. And where does that fit into, you know, everything else that goes on? I've been to community meetings before, and they should be recorded. And that information basically goes nowhere, I feel. But I wanted to comment also on page 62, where even members of the trust committee in their minutes were not in favor of voiding unlawful membership. And it's due to the community feedback. It wasn't just mine. There were a lot of people who attended that. And yes, there was a public hearing, you know, for the LOC, and we know, you know, what the attendance and the outcome and the history of that has been in the last 3 years. And now very few or no community members are attending just because of the feelings that they have that their comments are not being heard. So this opens the door, which is really serious, I think, because you're talking about the other question I guess I want to bring up is where and what will happen to this minor children's trust account, child's trust account, because one has been established. Money has gone in there. You know, I was cautioned in the past, be careful when you talk about this. We're talking about a minor child. I don't know who it is, and I'm not interested in learning who it is. What I'm concerned about now is that this child was recognized and was one of us. And now you're going to say, no, you're not. And where is that minor children's trust account going to go? And where is the process and the law and the ordinance and all of that for situations like that? Because now will it be the Trust and Enrollment Committee who will decide? Or is that money open for anybody to go after? I guess all of those things need to be addressed before this happens. And, you know, I called this child, I don't know if it's a male or a female, I called them our redheaded stepchild. And I feel bad that we're going to say you're no longer who you thought you were due to, you know, a mistake. I don't know if that's what it was, if it was deliberate. We're not the ones who are allowed to judge that. But you know, I said that we don't know how old this child is. Is this child 10 years old, 5 years old? And how much is that minor children's trust account, and where will that go? I guess those are the questions and the answers that I'm looking for today.
Clarissa, then Lisa.
The subject matter of voiding an unlawful membership is not addressed in this rule. This rule simply addresses enrollment procedures. Avoiding an unlawful membership will be addressed in a separate rule that's currently going through the rulemaking process but has not yet been certified by the LOC or come before you.
Lisa?
Yeah, I think that's really what I wanted to let Nancy know, is that the rule that we're adopting today, if we're considering today, if you look on page 60 of your packet, the rule is titled 1. It's Title 1, Governments and Finances, Chapter 124, Membership Ordinance, Rule Number 1, Enrollment Rule. That's the rule that's before us right now to be considered, and it's just how they're maintaining their records and how they're storing them and what the requirements are to maintain confidentiality and things like that. So the subject that you're talking about, while I see that in the minutes, they're in the minutes because it's the same minutes that were where this item was on the agenda as well. So I appreciate your comments. I do understand what your concerns are. I have similar concerns. There is more than one way to identify and be Oneida. Enrollment is only one way to do that. And so I think there's a lot of conversation that needs to happen. But for today's purposes, that rule is not before us right now for consideration. So I just want to make sure that it's clear for you, Nancy, that that's not what we're considering today. And so we'll make our decision based on the information that is before us.
Joanne?
I think Nancy raised a number of issues that are important for discussion, and one is the rulemaking process itself. It may be helpful for the Legislative Operating Committee to put an article or notice in the Galiwisox explaining the terminology that's utilized in these processes, and a really brief description of how it's accomplished. In this case, it is appropriate that it was called a public meeting. They're required to hold one. They're also required to notify of any and all comments that were received at the public meeting, and you can see that in the materials that are in today's packet. I don't know which page it's on exactly, but there's a notice in there indicating no public comments were received. So this is part of the transparency process involved in the rulemaking process itself. So they did go through all of the proper steps in order to present this rule to the LOC and ultimately to the business committee today.
Anyone want to make a motion?
Make a motion to adopt the membership ordinance rule number 1 for enrollment.
Is there a second?
Second.
Motion is made and seconded. Any discussion? Seeing none, we'll vote. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Oppose? Abstentions? Motion carries.
Thank you, Carson.
Next up, we have approval of the Finance Committee meeting minutes of January 2nd.
Motion to accept.
Second with comment.
Jenny?
Oh, just noting that on the new business, on 7 new business, page 69, the Amerist, there was a, they have made corrections. That was a late, not a late payment, but close to late payment for the insurance for the units, and they have made corrections in, for that.
I'm sorry, I need further clarification. What do you mean corrections? Like processing corrections? Or?
Processing, okay. Yep, processing corrections.
Okay.
Somebody was on leave.
Okay.
The notice comes in via email, and somebody was on leave. Originally, we were told that it came in via physical mail, and it was sitting on somebody's desk while somebody was on leave. They checked into it, and it was on, the notice comes in on email electronically now. For the insurance, and they've notified the vendor so that it comes in to several people now.
Lisa?
I did have a question about the Ainsworth item, number 2, the capital expenditures. It talks about replacing older machines not performing well with the newer machines from the same vendor. I was just curious, though, is if this was part of the overall plan that gaming brings forward every year, or was this something that occurred differently outside of that schedule? that needed to have a separate approval process, because we normally approve their things in their overall plan, and I was just wondering what this was regarding, because there's no, we don't have that detail. I can respond to that.
Jen?
Throughout the year, they recognize that some machines, they predicted that some machines are going to do well, and then throughout the year, when they see that these machines aren't doing well, then they switch those out, and they may, because sometimes the vendor may be loaning those to us to see how well they do in our market, and then they will see about purchasing. So sometimes it just depends on what our customers.
Okay, so it was basically part of their their review process then. That's what I was trying to figure out. Because it did say annual replacement, but I didn't know if that meant it was included in that review like you're talking about, because it just was not kind of clear to me.
Yeah.
That's good.
And some machines work better at the main casino, right, versus out on 29, so.
Right.
They're constantly reviewing that.
Right, so it's a replacement of all of those ones in particular, not just shuffling them around from location to location. That's what I... Okay, got it.
According to this, it applies just to the Aruz Gaming's, not the Ainsworth, correct?
They analyze all of those machines.
So there's 24 games that we're doing that with.
Yeah, but this request was just for Ainsworth.
Okay.
Any more discussion on the Finance Committee minutes? Seeing none, we'll vote. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? Motion carries. Next on the agenda is the appointment for the Oneida Gaming Commission to fill a vacant term ending August 31st, 2022.
Mr. Chair?
Jenny?
I'll make a motion to appoint Michelle Bratton to the United Gaming Commission to complete the vacant term ending August 31st, 2022.
Second.
Motion has been made and seconded. Any discussion? Seeing none, we'll vote. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions?
Abstained.
Mr. Chairman, the reason I'm abstaining is because my sister is actually one of the applicants.
Okay. Motion carries with, what is it, 4 supporting and 3 abstentions by David, Brandon, and Lisa. All right, next order of business is the Airport Hotel Corporation to appoint a vacant term ending January 31st, 2021.
Mr. Chairman?
Lisa?
Make a motion to appoint Pat Lassala.
Second.
Motion has been made and seconded. Any discussion? You have to come up to a mic if you want to speak. Kathy, you have 5 minutes.
What page are you on? It's hard to follow you.
73.
Okay, thank you. Because it doesn't seem like I have everything. I can't follow you. Everything's not in my packet or something.
Any more discussion on the motion to appoint Pat Lassala? Seeing none, we'll vote. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Oppose? Abstentions? Motion carries. Next up is the appointment to the Airport Hotel Corporation. David?
Make a motion to appoint Frank Cornelius.
Second.
Motion has been made and seconded by Lisa. Discussion. Seeing none, we'll vote. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Oppose, abstentions, motion carries.
Mr. Chairman.
Lisa.
Subsequent motion, please, for the secretary to contact both applicants to arrange for their oaths of office to be taken as soon as possible.
Second.
Motion has been made and seconded. Any discussion on the motion?
I have one more question.
Oh, David.
Will there be another posting? Is that somewhere else?
I have to bring that forward for the next meeting. Yep.
Okay. All right. Thanks.
Jenny?
Just a quick question. Are you looking for today, oath of offices today?
My motion is as quickly as possible.
Okay.
So if that can be arranged today, possibly, yes.
Okay.
Any more discussion on the motion? Seeing none, we'll vote. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Oppose, abstentions, motion carries. This is the unfinished business A, accept closeout report as required by BC Resolution 8917D, submitted by the Oneida Nation School Board. Receive the email.
Well, you're emailing it.
Oh, there it is.
Lisa?
Mr. Chairman, since we don't have this in front of us yet, I don't think there's copies and we're waiting for the emails to come through. We haven't read the report. I'm going to ask for us to defer this item to right before executive session items so that we can have a few minutes to look at it because we still haven't received it yet in the email even. So just give us a little bit to receive it and then be able to skim it. Please, thank you. Sorry. That would be my request to defer it for till the end of the agenda, which would be after item number 14 where there's no actions.
Is there a second to the motion to defer to item after item 14?
Second.
All right, discussion on the motion to defer. Seeing none, we'll vote. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed, abstentions, motion carries.
What is it exactly you're deferring and waiting for that's not in the packet?
Yeah, it's not in the packet, correct. It was supposed to be a handout, and we're just getting it sent to us now.
But what is it?
It's the closeout report as required by Business Committee Resolution 8917D, submitted by the Oneida Nation School Board. And that's the transition of the language program report, closeout report.
10A in your agenda?
Right, I got it. But I guess I'm looking for the answer why it's not in the packet and why it's being deferred. This was approved.
It's deferred to later in this same meeting, but it was noted when they submitted the agenda request that it was going to be a handout. Debbie?
I just wanted to comment, apologize for the delay, but it was sent yesterday. And the reason it was sent later is because of the fact that it was on our agenda for the school board to review the final report on Monday, which Monday evening, which was when we took action to accept the report.
All right, going on, moving on to new business. We have the approve the 2018 amended Oneida Trust Enrollment Committee, Oneida Business Committee Memorandum of Agreement.
Move to approve.
Second.
Motion has been made and seconded. Any discussion? Lisa?
I did have a question about, just because I wasn't able to be at the meeting, and I guess I didn't realize that this change was made. But it says in the whereas sections that we're amending, so I know this is just historical, but to review and approve Section 8 of the Tribal Revenue Allocation Plans prior to Business Committee approval. However, it's striking out Section 8, so this very narrow scope of review is being broadened to the entire review of the TAR or TRP, REP. So I just was wondering, since it's in the whereas section, but this MOU is a little treated a little differently than a normal resolution. So I didn't know what the conversation was or the rationale for that, and I should have asked beforehand, but I guess I didn't realize it until just now as I was looking at it again. So any of the committee members that were there in the meeting?
I don't recall.
Maybe the trust chair can answer my question. My question is in the whereas section of the resolution. I'm on page 87 of the packet. There is a whereas that requires the trust committee to review a certain section of the Tribal Revenue Allocation Plan, the REP, prior to the business committee's approval. This resolution, or this the whereas is section of this MOU, strikes out the section part, so it appears that the entire REP needs to be reviewed by the trust committee prior to the business committee approval. My question is, why was that change made? Because now it looks like it's a very broad review that must take place instead of a very specific review of a specific section of the REP. So I would be worried that there may be not an understanding of why other sections are done the way they're done or whatever those cases may be. So I'm just trying to understand why that's stricken out of here.
Actually, I believe it was to narrow the scope, so I'm not sure if that's a typographical. The intent was to make it more specific and not as broad, and I'm just speaking from recollection. I don't have the documents in front of me.
Brandon?
Yeah, I was wondering if we can have, I don't know, Rob come. It was understood in the meeting what it was. It was really a real simple explanation why. And
I'm sure it is. That's why I'm okay.
Yeah,
with
that's why.
I'm okay with it.
Rob is actually out ill today, so he's not in the office. Lisa, looking at page 86, and could you point out the whereas section that you're referring to?
Sure. Let me go back to
87.
It's 87. If you go to page 87, it's the third whereas from the bottom of the page.
Or section 7 or section 8 of the Tribal Revenue Allocation Plan is crossed out, section 8.
I actually believe that the Trust Enrollment Committee reviews the entire revenue allocation plan because they have a responsibility to make sure that it's fitting within their trust responsibilities. That's not an approval of the revenue allocation plan. It's simply a review of the entire document.
That might be true what you just said, but the way that it's worded says they review and approve. And that's why I'm concerned, because even though in practice that might have been what is actually happening, our written agreements should reflect what's actually happening in practice. And if that's the case, this is not reflecting what's happening in practice. And I would be concerned because any future board, any future business committee could interpret that the way that I'm reading it and decide that they have an obligation or responsibility the way that it's worded to do those things when that's not what's being practiced. So that's why I'm asking for the clarification, because I want to make sure if that's what we're actually doing, it's reflected that way in the document, so that there is no confusion or ambiguity about whose role and responsibility is what when it comes to the REP, because that's a document that has to go to the feds for approval. We know that. I mean, there's this big old long process that goes along with our per capita that people don't see the behind the scenes stuff. This is one of those pieces, and I just want to make sure that we're all clear so that we're not inadvertently, you know, stumbling over ourselves if something comes up. And I guess that's my concern.
I agree that it should be clarified as to why that particular change is being made. Looking at the changes that are in the MOU, they appear to most to be cosmetic, for lack of a better word, reflecting the tribal judiciary and some organizational changes that may have occurred within trust and enrollment. I believe this is something that can be, the question can be asked and then deferred to the next business committee meeting for action. Unless Bonnie indicates there's a need for speed on this.
Bonnie?
excuse me. Joanne is correct that I believe that Rob took that language out for that specific section of the TRAP in order to make sure that the Trust Enrollment Committee was fully looking at that whole document as a whole, because there have been changes that have occurred over time that cause certain sections to be referencing different areas and documents, plus the additional things of the payment amounts. We have a Elder 65 payment that every 3 years is reviewed and determined to be a different amount. And so those things are included in that document, and the committee wants to look at and review and approve those changes before the TRAP comes before the business committee, so that it can make sure that they can be ensured that the right information is in there. There have been just little significant things that we have noticed over the years that were inaccurately identified in the TRAP itself, so that is why it was felt to just, we wanted to review the TRAP as a whole, not just one section of the TRAP, because there were different pieces in there that were, we've just been realizing that have been not referenced correctly as far as laws go.
So the revenue allocation plan is governed by IGRA and the tribes per capita laws. It's also governed by the Elders Per Capita Trust and the trust documents that set up the minor trust funds. So throughout the revenue allocation plan, there are calculations and references regarding how those different plans are rolled out, as well as the calculations as to how the tribe budgets gaming revenues, because we're required to report on that. So there are both sets of figures that are in that document. Since there are parts of this that the Trust Enrollment Committee is responsible for carrying out, yes, reviewing those specific parts is important, but reviewing the document as a whole to make sure that it doesn't conflict with any existing processes that are in place. I, at this point, would request the business committee defer this item to the next business committee agenda, and we'll get those answers for you regarding that specifically, okay, as well as address the concern that if we need to more specifically tailor it to that approval related to trust and enrollment committee responsibilities, then we can do that also.
Yeah, I think that's what my concern is I don't want to get in a situation where the two bodies are at conflict because maybe one doesn't agree with one part when that's the decision of another of the other body. I just am a little worried about that. And again, I don't think that these two entities that we have now in place are going to go there. But again, we're trying to make sure that everything's clear for future people who might be in these positions and have these responsibilities. So I would make a motion at this time to defer this item to the next business committee meeting.
I'll withdraw my motion first.
Oh, yeah.
Sorry. A seconder concur. And Lisa, you see your motion to defer to the next business committee meeting?
Yes, that is
correct. Is there a second to that motion?
Second.
Seconded by Jenny. Discussion, Trish?
Just when we have these kinds of discussions and then we defer something, if in our motions we can identify why we're deferring it, so that when you're reading the minutes you know why it's being deferred and everybody knows what their responsibilities are to follow up with. Or to give another directive, just because it's just not clear.
Mr. Chairman, I'll make my question that I raised regarding this item for the record statement so that it's clear that it just that there's clarification needed for this particular part of the MOU.
Any more discussion on the deferral? No. Seeing none, we'll vote. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? Motion carries. Travel requests. I approve a travel request for Councilman Daniel Guzman King to attend the first annual Hemp Expo in Milwaukee, March 9th through the 10th.
Mr. Chairman.
Lisa.
I'll make a motion to approve the request for up to two business committee members to attend this event.
Is there a second?
Second.
Motion has been made and seconded. Any more discussion? Seeing none, we'll vote. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? Motion carries. Next on the travel requests, approve travel requests for Secretary Summers to attend the U.S. Department of Interior Office of the Secretary consultation at Prior Lake, Minnesota, January 17th and 18th.
So moved.
Second.
Motion is made and seconded. Any discussion? Seeing none, we'll vote. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? Motion carries. There was an add-on travel for
Correct.
Kirby for NATAL.
Correct.
For today and tomorrow.
Correct.
Motion to approve.
Is there a second?
Second.
Motion has been made and seconded. Any discussion on the motion?
Just noting, since that we didn't, because this one didn't get in the record, or it won't get into after, just to note for the record that this NATAL meeting is happening in Lac des Flambeaux. So that everybody knows the location, as well as the Great Lakes Center Tribal Council meeting. Both in the same spot.
Any more discussion? Seeing none, we'll vote. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Oppose? Abstentions?
Abstain.
One abstention, Lisa. Motion carries.
Question?
Jenny?
Are you scheduled for tomorrow then?
Yeah, for Great Lakes.
Great Lakes.
Okay. We're going back up to the school board report. It's not in the report. It's a handout. They got copies. Good morning. Really? Questions or comments on the report? Lisa?
I'm looking very quickly. How long is the ANA grant for? Is it for the 2 years?
It's a three-year grant.
Three-year grant. So this is the first year of the 3 years, right. Correct? Okay. My question is, to start, what is the long-term plan then for the trainees that are brought on underneath the grant?
The long-term plan is to place them within the ONSS as language teachers.
Okay, so we know 3 years now into the fourth year from now, there's going to be six open positions in the school system where they're going to be absorbed. That's what I'm hearing. Because I haven't seen anything like that from the school's reports. So I guess, and I'm okay with that right now, but what I'm saying is that it's now is the appropriate time to start mirroring and reflecting what those long-term strategies look like, so that we understand how they're connected from a long-range perspective. This is really good information, don't get me wrong. I just want to make sure that we're continuously thinking ahead from a strategic perspective, because that's why we tried to, you know, that's why we did this move, so that we could get this long-term process going. So that's just my first comment. The second one, for clarification, you know, we attended a meeting, was it last week, I believe, regarding the requirement to fulfill the language summit or symposium that's identified here. A question that came up during that conversation was about the resource people that would be needed to help put it on. And so one of the things that I notice now here in the grant itself, it indicates that these six people are brought on for the purposes of fulfilling the grant requirements. One of the grant requirements is the symposium that was discussed last week. So I just want to make sure that I'm understanding that correctly. So that question should be answered then about the people resources to help put that together, because these individuals are required to fulfill the grant requirements as well. So we would be able to utilize those six people to help put those things together according to the way the grant is written.
Per the project narrative for the grant, the way it was funded, a planning committee was to be created, which we have created for the language symposium. We've been meeting with this planning committee since September to plan the language symposium that's outlined in the grant.
For the one in August, that it says it has to be in August.
The language symposium that we're planning in the grant, for the grant, we're looking at dates in early May. The summit is something that has kind of come along after our planning process has started. And I don't know for sure the thinking with the other two communities where that is, because I wasn't able to attend that meeting. I was at another meeting at the time. But I'm sure that they both can complement each other. The federal grant has kind of specific guidelines. They encourage partnerships across border in Canada and Mexico during grant award, you know, years. But as far as like the funding part of it, it's kind of like they're not going to allow funding to cross borders, I guess.
Okay, but here's my question then, for clarification for right now, because I'm a little confused, so help me out. And again, just because I can't get through this whole thing very thoroughly. What I'm hearing is that there's two different things happening, or is it just one event? Because the meeting that we attended last week, my understanding was that it was to fulfill the requirement of this grant. That's what we were told. And now I'm hearing something maybe slightly different. So I need to understand what the situation is, because if it's two separate things, then I have a broader concern that I don't want to have to worry about. I don't want to have to go into that if it's not the same. If it is the same thing and we just haven't gotten everybody on the same page yet, then that's different. But I just want to make sure I understand, because that was one of the questions.
Per the discussion at the board meeting Monday night, there's actually different discussions taking place, and the discussion that we had at Monday night's meeting was to try and bring everybody to the table to get everybody on the same page. If they can be coordinated, that's what will happen. But right now, some discussion took place as a result of conversation that took place recently by travel, and then some of that discussion also happened with one of the other community members outside of our community, and so there's a lot of excitement about trying to get everybody to the table at the same time so that we can either fulfill grant requirements or see what we can do to collaborate and coordinate those efforts so that all efforts are put into the same to the same situation. Thank you. A lot of discussion, a lot of good discussion about what needs to come to the table. So I think the committee has been charged as far as the committee that was formulated for the grant and some of the other staff to try and get that coordination moving forward. So that was our discussion on Monday.
Okay.
In addition to your other question, as far as the trainees, the school board has been in anticipation over the last several years in terms of potential staff that are approaching retirement or that may be planning to retire briefly within the end of the school year or within the coming school year. And so that's been our view in terms of looking at how do we plan for succession for those individuals, because a lot of those individuals in our language and culture areas within the school have a wealth of knowledge, have a wealth of experience, and we want to make sure that we're actually ready to have somebody ready to replace those individuals once they make their decision as to when or if they will retire. And so that's our goal with trying to expedite these trainees and these apprentices to make sure that we're ready so that we're not sitting here come 2 years from now and we don't have anybody to replace those individuals. So that was the goal behind the school board's discussion initially when we even talked about going after the ANA grant in the past, was how can we prepare to make sure we have replacements ready to go in our school system as well as our community.
Brandon?
Yeah, two things. And I think that's kind of discussion we had before was just measurements and benchmarks for these trainees and individuals that they have some capacity at a certain level at certain periods of time. So I understand that everyone has their different varying levels of learning and absorbing it, but still having the benchmarks for the individuals to reach a certain level. Secondly is we're at a meeting with the Department of Public Instruction, and they're talking about the proposed rule change on the licensures of the teachers. And so the difficulty that we're having is the Title VI programs in the city, in Green Bay, are reaching out to people who might know the language or might know the culture and not necessarily might not have any capacity at all, but know a few words. And so we were talking about how does that relate to the local tribe and may reflect other tribes that may be in the areas and who determines that. So in the proposed rule, they have this local planning team. It's not a planning team, but it's a local team that isn't established, but they reference a team or some kind of joint strategic team or something that isn't, I never heard of before. And so trying to look at the designation of, like, Menominee has a language commission, and so they would hand out, their different language teachers to certain programs at certain times, and that would be determined by that commission. And we would just designate, the language department to be able to designate whoever they see fit to fill those roles. And so that's kind of what we're looking at, is looking how do we divvy up, I guess, the language teachers to surrounding communities that are surrounding school systems that are looking for those language teachers, so they could be actually certified by our group, you know, by the language department, preferably, so they're capable and understanding what we're trying to teach our kids.
Any more questions from the committee? Nancy?
Okay, I kind of lost my train of thought, but because this was a handout, I really haven't had the opportunity to look at how this budget works, but it looks like an awful lot of money. And where my comments and concerns are, and this is not the first time, I brought this up, you know, many times over the years about why isn't the language program in our school system. The teachers that are teaching language and culture are employees of the tribal school system, and it wasn't a mistake or you know, a well-known fact that one of them that's been working for our school system for many, many years is going to retire this year. And so how unfortunate that we didn't have a plan in place already, and you're just now trying to get people together to make the plan. Where my concern is on the second one to the third page, the second paragraph. I don't see in here where the language program is going to actually be involved in the everyday ongoing language to our children. The employees that already exist over there, I don't see that anywhere in this report where they will fit in. A curriculum was done. I'm aware that Shirley Barber, Jenny Galnick, and Denise Beans worked many, many years and hours on the curriculum. It's cut and dry. It doesn't change. It doesn't, you don't add stuff to it. It's pretty basic. We surround it around all that we believe in our ceremonies. So my concern was, where are the people to implement all of that? A couple people left, you know, went other places, and we have an important teacher who's going to be retiring. So on page 3 in the second paragraph, it says, currently the language department expanded to teach language classes after school 3 days a week for different grades at the school. And then there are also programs being implemented for gifted and talented children. I always have an issue with gifted and talented children because they're going to make it no matter what. Where my concern is what about the kids who are falling through the cracks and the kids who aren't making it in the regular, ordinary, they don't fit in your box, and those are the kids that need to be targeted. So my concern is that you're taking an entire entity program and over and language and culture, and it doesn't clearly state how they're, you know, where are they going to go? Are they going to the elementary school and half are going to the high school? Are they going to remain in the language house? Are they coming to this building and going to be actually engaging in the teaching of the language to our kids? Because that's what I was looking for. I wasn't looking for all little subcommittees and where you're going to go in the future. And, you know, for those of you who aren't new, you know how I feel about summits and all of that kind of stuff, because at the end of the day, they don't benefit our children. All kinds of plans are made and people eat and for 2 days, and at the end of the day, those plans aren't implemented. So that's what I'm looking for, is what is the plan to incorporate what we already have that's being transferred into the everyday ordinary, going into the classroom and teaching. The concerns I had before is that they weren't qualified to teach, and how that was going to fit into, you know, we've kind of grandfathered other people in who don't have qualifications, and that's okay because they have expertise in other areas. But, you know, I didn't have a chance to read the A&A grant. It's not in here other than the budget. So I have a lot of concerns about the transition and also the accountability. You know, where are, you know, other teachers who teach other subjects are expected to swipe chronos and be here. They have a schedule. And where will all of these people fit into that schedule, even though you're now just beginning to hire 6 trainees? What about the other people? The other issue that I brought up before was Randy Cornelius's culture, language, and culture class, because this budget moved that he's left over there without any money or supplies.
Lisa?
I just wanted to hopefully get a little bit clarification from the statements that were just made, and hopefully the school board and Tracy can help with that. First and foremost, for the record, but just so everybody here that's hearing the conversation understands, this is not the first time that we're seeing this. What this actually is the closeout of the process that we've been using over several months to get to a place where we could now say, yep, we're comfortable with where the direction everything is going in. We're comfortable with the plans. This was the last piece that we needed to see in order to make sure that we were validating all of the strategies that we put in place last year were being carried out the way that we had anticipated them to be. So I think that's important for everybody to understand that this is not something that's just happening. We're not just now thinking about these things. It's been going on for quite some time. As a matter of fact, the transition and the talk about integrating the language with the school has been a discussion that's been in the organization and the community for actually years and years. It's not something that just occurred. However, what has recently occurred over this last year is the actual steps to actually begin that process. And so this is this is the end of the process for our part of it. It's now, you know, making sure that the baton is being transferred over to the appropriate entity, which is the school board in this case, to oversee all of these things. And so all we're doing is validating and checking at this point. It's good. And the other thing is it is actually multifaceted. I think Nancy does raise some very good points. This entire strategy that we put into place is multifaceted. We have the legal perspective when it comes to teaching certifications, and all of those things need to be done. And as Brandon mentioned earlier, we're going through that process with the state. We also have the school strategy about how to incorporate the programming and how to make sure that the curriculum matches what the needs are from a long-term perspective, and the ultimate goal, which is to make sure that our language continues to survive and be revitalized within our nations. And then there's the community side, which is making sure that there's an understanding and an awareness from a community perspective about all these activities that are taking place in order to meet that goal of making sure that our language continues to survive. So I think that while Nancy raises some questions, and it's probably due to the fact that she hasn't been included in all, she's not been present for all the meetings, you know, nobody here has really from a community perspective, because a lot of these activities take place on a daily basis. So we do our best to make sure that we communicate in these meetings when there's inaccuracies, and so that's what I think I need to state right now to make sure that everybody here understands that this work has been going on for quite some time and that we're moving in the right direction. I want to say that now that we've been able to make sure that our communication has been more clear with one another, everything's progressing very well as far as I'm concerned, and I do appreciate this last piece of information that we received from you all. So thank you for the work.
Brandon?
And just lastly, Debbie knows for sure is about the strategic workforce plan that we're doing on the organizational side and how the school system, you know, looking at those six positions for the ANA grant, and how I think the ANA grant is a two-cycle grant, and then we can't submit for a year for one cycle. I think that's what the last one was. And so to prepare for that, and I think what Lisa alluded to before was just preparing for that, is that something we're going to absorb within the budget, or is that something mm-hmm. we're going to be lacking once one cycle, bringing it back again? And so that's the purpose of the grant, is really to build the capacity to see if you can absorb those costs and do without, or take it all or do without, and then go back on after the cycle completed. So I understand that, you know, we couldn't complete the cycle. That's where there was a misunderstanding last time, where we couldn't actually apply for the grant. And so that's what we're kind of looking at with the school, to see, you know, the workforce levels. Are they at where they're at, you know, where they need to be based on priorities? So if language culture is a major priority, then that's something, you know, we definitely, you know, we see the need, and that's why this whole move is made. So, you know, I think that's something we can support, you know, looking at those levels, and Debbie be able to help, especially with what we're doing at the organizational side.
Mm-hmm.
Debbie?
I just want to also comment that, you know, as Lisa shared, this is multifaceted, and the school board has taken the initiative very seriously in terms of how do we look at all the aspects of not just only language and culture, but also education as a whole. And this echoes some of your comments, Brandon, in terms of basically, how do we address some of those issues and concerns? And that brings us back to the education code, which the school board continues to work on and evolve. And we are at nearing the end of the revision of that code, and hopefully can get that within this year, get it forward to the LLC, which will address language and culture, will address the quality of education specific to language and culture, but also specific to education as a whole across the whole nation. And so those are some of the things that the school board has continued to work on in terms of trying to make sure that we are addressing all of those issues. Because the issues that you raise in terms of the quality of language, the quality of education as a whole, you know, we can take care of the Oneida Nation school system, but what about our kids that are in Pulaski? What about our kids that are in Southwest? What about our kids that are in West De Pere? And all these surrounding school districts, they're still our constituents, they're still our nation, and so we have to also be concerned with what happens there and how do we control the quality of that education, not just from daycares, but to higher ed, and how do we encompass that totality of education and the quality of education as a whole for this nation. So that's kind of the broader perspective of this whole piece. This is just one piece of the pie as in terms of language and culture, but there's a whole bigger piece that the school board has been trying to work on. And I know Chairman has been involved in the past as far as being a part of that discussion with the school board. And we've kind of come from, you know, 100-and-some-page document, and we're trying to narrow that down to be very specific to look at it from the law's perspective versus what pieces can be dealt into policy. And if we can create those policies, they don't need to be a part of the law, so that once we get that final document, we're ready to move it forward so that LLC can take that on. So,
Kathy, can you come? Kathy, come to the mic. 5 minutes.
Thank you. I haven't, I had to skim through this really fast and look at the numbers here and there, and I got quite a few questions. But I think I'm just going to speak on my own experience. And I know how the other communities are out east. Our people love our people, and they love our language, and they love our culture. Wherever you go out east, I've been there. I've been traveling out there for 30 years. And I just want to remind everyone, I guess, I'm sitting here listening to all this and thinking about the individual that we recently lost out east, who was very knowledgeable of many things. You never know when that's going to happen. And we've lost our elders. And you never know when that's going to happen. But one of the things, you know, looking at this packet, why is it always about money? $3,000 for a room for to have a symposium and all that, that's, you know, all interesting and everything. But in our way, when we have traveled, they are more than happy and willing to put us up out there, and we learn from each other when we're traveling to those communities. They take us in, they enjoy us, they learn from us, as well as we do when we go out there. The bottom line is it's about being human, how to become a human and get past the money, the dollars. You got lodging in here, some of the lodging in here, you know, $4,000 for two people to travel. I just can't stress enough. Every October, I travel to every one of those communities. There's been quite a few years, made it to every one. And I was put up, and where I stayed,
I was welcomed. I wasn't expected to give anything. When I tried to, they wouldn't accept it. They fed us 3 times a day, every day, when we were out there. 3 times a day, everyone. And anyone who's traveled out there for a ceremony should know how it is. And I can't tell you, when I've traveled out of my pocket, out of my own pocket. And then when I see people out there that are getting paid to be there, they're getting a salary to be there, they're getting paid the gas money, and they're getting paid the meals, and they're getting paid everything. When the bottom line is, it's about communication and being human and meeting each other and learning from each other. And another thing I noticed in this packet is that symposium, it says, and it says it a couple times here and there, to hear our language being spoken from all ages, and you're just focusing on a certain age group of schooling children. Eventually, you know, they want to hear from all of us, all different ages, you know, all of that stuff. And in order to be able to accomplish something, and the way we've been doing it, well, for me personally, over 30 years, it's just beyond me why I can't get past that. There is no selfish. There is no greedy. There's none of that when you travel out there and meet our people. You know, our ancestors were their family members when you go out there. And you see people who resemble each other. I can't tell you how emotional it is to know these kind of people exist. And then to sit here and hear you got to write grant monies. I'm so thankful that I was passionate, that I, in myself, had it in me to do everything on my own, to travel out that way, to learn it. And then you take the culture heritage and then you're sticking it in a school where it's going to be for certain individuals. Certain individuals, you know, depends on who you are. I don't know. But I just want to say that much, is that there's more, a lot more out there than just this dollar thing. It's about communication. It's about relating to each other. It's about being human. There's a book on it, How to Become a Human Being, by Leon Shenandoah. I think that's a very important part that's being left out in this packet, and I haven't had the opportunity to completely read the entire thing. I'm sure there's some really wonderful, great things in there, because a dollar can pay for a lot.
Okay, but Kathy, your time is up. Thank you for your questions and your comments. I think I noticed that Sharon have a...
I just wanted to comment. I really embrace the ANA grant and the model that they have is similar to what student teaching is in public schools, where the students that we have, the ANA apprentices, are selecting which group of kids, but they're not... we don't limit them. Like, okay, you're going to work with K-2, or no, you want to go to high school, or you're going to work with middle school. This is an opportunity, and they have been coming in, and they're working with teachers, so they're learning. I wanted to thank Nancy, the foundations of our cultural calendar. All of you who went to our school know, you know, like in the spring, we're going to do maple tapping. We've got a new maple sugar camp going up over here. So we still follow those basic tenets of the calendar that we've had from when we first started. And also I agree with GT kids make it no matter what. We do have a higher incidence of struggling kids. We have kids that have had trauma, and those are the kids we do pay particular attention to, trying to embrace the families and have meetings with them. But they are also an important part of our culture program and our language program. So anytime we have an opportunity to have smaller groups of kids and emphasize what we're learning with a different curriculum is an opportunity that we can't pass up. So I think that it's a good partnership, and they're not going to be limited. And we do work with DPI too on licensure. And so we are quite familiar with that process. And there's 2 certifications, actually. These young people have the Oneida language certification that they're getting for the language program, but then also the state certification that we'll be working with them on. So I just wanted to mention that. Thank you.
Jenny?
I just do have one request regarding the move.
I do ask that if you could send notice when the move is complete. I just don't want it strung out a year from now. You know, if you could send notice when the move is complete.
Brandon?
In the inclusion, there's possibly a third licensure level. There's going to be a tier level now, and I think what is called the sovereignty, tribal sovereignty and culture. And so that's what the tribes are talking about, us in Menominee, about how we can at least have a base based on that symposium that used to have about the Act 31 mm-hmm. requirement. On what's the baseline knowledge of the Wisconsin 11 Wisconsin tribes that anyone can get certified? So I could, if I was going to be in Shawano School District, I could teach basic Menominee history on their, you know, the Treaty of Green Bay, you know, stuff like that. So they would understand that I know a certain amount, and so we could certify someone in this area to teach. Tribal sovereignty of the 11 tribes. And so that's one of the things that DPI was talking about that we would do. And the committee delegating to whoever that may be is just another tier for that. It's a little weird how they're separating all the languages out now where there was just everyone, any language. So it's, and I'm just trying to get the history on that.
Daniel?
Thank you for the report, and thank you for your efforts in making this transition happen. I think in a very, very related topic, looking into the future, I think we have a grand opportunity with the language department working within the school system to develop a full immersion school. And, I think with these apprentices and students learning and teaching the language now, they can be a great part of that. So I would just encourage you to maybe make some long-term plans and start developing curriculum based around the language. And maybe 10 years from now, we could have a full immersion school. Thank
you. Any more questions or comments on the report? David?
I'm going to make a motion to accept the closeout report with a couple of clerical errors, maybe fixed up on page 15 of the travel on C. There's a hotel for $102 a night at 64 nights. I think that's supposed to be 6 nights. And on the minutes, just at the adjournment, there's the motion to adjourn by R.C. Danforth. I don't think there's an R.C. Danforth. And then also with Jenny's addition to have some kind of a notification when actually the move is complete.
Second.
Any discussion on the motion? Seeing none, we'll vote. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? Motion carries.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And then we did not finish executive session yesterday, so a motion to go into executive session at 9:50 would be in order.
So moved.
Second.
Motion has been made and seconded. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? Motion carries.
Yeah, take a quick bathroom break.
So moved.
Motion to come out of executive session at 11:07 is made by David. Is there a second? Motion has been made and seconded. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? Motion carries. Executive session is to accept the chief counsel report.
I'll make a motion to accept the chief counsel report dated January 9th, 2017.
Is there a second?
Report.
Motion has been made and seconded. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Oppose? Abstention?
Abstain.
With one abstention, motion carries. Our second item is to accept the Intergovernmental Affairs and Communications Report.
Motion to accept. Second.
Motion has been made and seconded. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Oppose? Abstentions?
Abstain.
Motion carries. With one abstention, David. Next item is the Oneida Gulf Enterprise LPGA. And the suggested approve the requested operational capital contribution.
So moved.
Second.
Motion has been made and seconded. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Oppose? Abstentions? Motion carries. Next up, we have to accept the written report regarding complaint 2017-DR-0101. Accept the written report regarding that complaint. One, the BC approves the Oneida Business Officer's actions, and the complaint is closed.
So moved. Second.
Motion has been made and seconded. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Oppose? Abstentions?
Abstain.
David abstains. Motion carries. Our next item is to approve the Oneida Business Committee Standard Operating Procedure entitled Employee Incentive. The suggested motion is to approve the OBC SOP entitled Employee Incentive and for the final discussion regarding the distribution of longer goal recognitions and review of the SOP to the August 22nd, 2018 regular meeting.
Mr. Chairman?
Lisa?
I'll make a motion to approve the OBC entitled SOP entitled Employee Incentives.
Is there a second?
Second.
Motion has been made and seconded. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Oppose? Abstention?
Abstain.
One abstention. David, motion carries. Not hearing no subsequent motions, we'll move on. Determine next steps regarding Oneida Business Committee Resolution 12716B, agreement with Wisconsin Department of Transportation for a corridor study on Mason Street/54.
Mr. Chairman,
Lisa.
I'll make a motion to forward this item to the chairman's office for appropriate follow-up.
Second.
Motion has been made and seconded. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? Motion carries. Next up, we have the review recommendations concerning 2017CC15 and determine next steps. So the suggested motion is to accept the recommendation of the chairman and terminate the appointment under the authority of Section 105.6-5 based on the documentation submitted by the Oneida Election Board.
So moved, Mr. Chairman.
Is there a second to that motion?
Second.
Motion has been made and seconded. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed? Abstentions? Motion carries unanimously. Our next item is to review applicants for the Oneida Gaming. Oh.
We still have to accept that we.
Okay, make a term.
Mr. Chairman,
Lisa.
I'll make a motion to accept closing out this item, noting that it has been moved to open session item number 8A.
Is there a second?
Second.
Motion has been made and seconded. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Oppose? Abstention?
Abstain.
Motion carries with one abstention, David. And so we got the other appointment to the Hotel Corporation Board.
Mr. Chairman, I'll make a motion to note that we have accept notice that we've completed this item and moved it to open session under item 8B.
Second.
Motion has been made and seconded. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Oppose? Abstentions?
Abstain.
One abstention, David. Motion carries. Next item was to review applications for the vacant term ending January 31st, 2023 on the Oneida Airport Hotel Corporation Board of Directors.
Mr. Chairman?
Lisa?
I'll make a motion to note that we've completed this item and moved it under to open session item number 8B. Or is that? I actually think it's... They're both B, but they're two separate items. So this would be item 8C. Second.
Mr. Chairman. I'm on the last vote. I abstained. I should actually have voted in favor of that because I voted and I didn't know it was moved to the open session.
Okay.
So I want to change
my noting vote that to David voted in favor instead of abstaining.
Correct.
All right. More.
For F1?
Yes. Motion has been made and seconded. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions, motion carries. We had a add-on determine appropriate next steps regarding HR area manager's recommendation regarding changes to the BC resolution 92717I.
Mr. Chairman,
Lisa.
I'll make a motion to forward this item to the BC officers for appropriate follow-up.
Second.
Motion has been made and seconded. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions, motion carries. Add-on number 2 is accept the Oneida Gulf Enterprise Corporation and Airport Hotel Corporation update.
So moved.
Second.
Motion has been made and seconded. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Oppose. Abstentions, motion carries. And that concludes our executive session items.
Motion to adjourn.
Motion to adjourn at 11:14. Is there a second?
Second.
Seconded by Ernie. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? Motion carries. Thank you, everyone.
All right.